Blog Talk Radio.
Talk with Angela Butler. Today, the interview is with Minister Sylvia Craver. Sylvia Craver is from Mississippi. She wrote the book. She's the author of the book, The Truth About College. And we're going to go into the interview. How are you doing this morning, Minister Sylvia Craver?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine. Glad to be here this morning.
I'm glad to have you on Show Talk. So you're a minister now. You're the mother to
kids.
Yes,
ma'am.
There was a time in your life when you were expected to go sail beyond. I mean, you had all these awards and you and studied and you're known for intellect and youth. And you're still youthful. You're still young. And you said same platforms as Reverend Jesse Jackson, among others. So,
yes, I did.
You had the choice of college. You had the choice of colleges and universities. So tell me about the truth about college and your ministry.
Okay. The book is actually called The Truth About College, The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. It's like got 20 chapters. It's in kind of large print, and it's the first book in a series. It's going to be a 3-book series. Actually, I'm halfway finished with the second book already, and the series is called Because I Said Yes. And the reason why I named that is because that link brings in sync with my ministry and my whole life. It takes you on all the pitfalls in college that are lurking and waiting there for our children, who are losing their ways every day. They're going off to college and they get lost. They lose their way. And it talks about those pitfalls and shows the truth about what is going on these campuses. And for me, it tells how bad my life was, what all I went through, how much I went through, how bad it was, till one day I accepted my calling from God. One day I said yes. And because I said yes, he turned my whole life around.
He did. Okay. But you did end up getting your bachelor's degree, am I right?
Yes, I got my bachelor's degree in speech communication and public relations. And then, when I got that degree, it just got even worse. And I overcame some adversity, and I went on to get 2 master's degrees. And basically, when I accepted my calling in life, that's when things began to fall in place. I began to get a lot of notoriety to my name, being on talk shows, being on TV, being on the news, being in magazines. All of that started happening because I accepted my calling and started being a minister. I don't know if that makes any sense, but I would say all those degrees that I have, people look at me and they think I'm just a nobody, but they don't know I'm very well educated on a lot of the matters. And they kind of underestimate me. And so it wasn't the degrees that really opened the doors for me. It was my heart and my passion to help people who might go through the same thing. That's what opened the doors for me, doing the work of God.
Okay. 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 So there's a chapter in the book where you start seeding at these coming in first and second place, and these speeches that you did. I believe at one time you were the only black in there. Was there another young black man? Okay.
At first there were two other black people on the team. And they couldn't get along with the coaches and other teammates, and they didn't have the work ethic that was required to stay on the debate team to keep that scholarship. I had a strong work ethic, so they kind of, just drifted away, got cut from the team. The other black lady, she graduated, so that left me being the only black minority on the team. And basically my work ethic, I know you mentioned I got a lot of awards, but I had to work hard to get it, and that's what kept me there.
Okay. I believe that. You could have went to any college, pretty much any college or university that you wanted to go. Which university did you choose when you were about 17, 18?
Well, I actually was getting correspondence from Harvard University. They had sent me an application, and I was like, oh, my God, that's Harvard all the way in Massachusetts. My mom was so proud. There were several other colleges in Tennessee, Arizona. They were writing me, offering me scholarships. And I talked to an educational advisor, and they told me go to the college that wants you the most, the one that's going to offer you the most money. So I chose the private Christian college in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, because they practically offered me a full scholarship.
Okay. All right. So that's where you went, Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Now.
Yes, ma'am.
So how did that go with the debate team? Because you're on a debate team, public speaking debate. How did that go?
Well, ironically, I had never had any experience on a debate team in my whole life. Don't know how I got the scholarship with no experience. I actually was recruited. A man came from that college to my debate classroom in high school and told me that he would love for me to be on their team. He thought I was very bright and very articulate. And at that time, I don't know if you heard of the Baptist Association, the Southern Christian Leadership Congress. I was very active in the Southern Christian. Okay, well, you know where I'm coming from. They have those oratorical contests every year. I've been in those oratorical contests since I was 8 years old, and I've always won first place. And I had won it from the state. I had won it from the district, and they wanted to send me to nationals. And when I went to nationals, I met Jesse Jackson, Julius Bonds, Martin Luther King Jr. III, his son. I met all these people, sat on a platform with them and everything because of my gift. It made room for me. And I actually won at the national tournament. I placed like second or third place at the national tournament. And they gave me thousands of dollars of scholarship money for winning. And they cut me a check. I think in all, they gave me like $3,500 to $4,000. So that notoriety went ahead of my name to the college. And when they heard that I had went national and did all of this speaking, they raised my scholarship offer. At first, it was only $500 a year, but they raised it to $20,000. And when I got on the debate team, my coach, he told me that he wanted me to be baptized by fire. So he just threw me up there, and I had to do hands-on and learn as quickly as I could. And I was able to catch on quickly. I was able to adapt quickly. And now the first year, I really didn't win any awards because I was a novice. But by the end of the first year, I started picking up them awards, and I had learned the ropes.
Okay. You're obviously very intelligent, very, very, very intelligent.
Thank you very much.
Articulate also. Now, in your book, The Truth About College, The Good, The Bad, The Ugly, Miss Minister Sylvia Craver, that was a chapter in your book where you talk about older women using you. The one on was homosexual. How did that make you feel?
Okay, let me explain this to you. I was raised in the Baptist church. I was raised in a religious family, and I was taught that marriage should be what God intended it to be, and that's between a man and a woman. That's my belief still. And I had never really been anywhere and stayed far away from home. So all of this was a culture shock to me, seeing girls liking girls. And I was not aware at the time that there are people who are in the closet and who are down low homosexual, because I was a young country bucket and hadn't been nowhere. And it started, this older lady, she wanted me to tutor her with her homework. And I'm just going to be honest. I'm going to give you the exclusive. I'm a ghostwriter, and I help people with their homework. That's what I do. I started doing it in college, being a ghostwriter. And I was helping her with her homework, and she would take me off campus. She would buy me all kind of luxury things. She'd take me to the finest restaurants. We eat at four-star restaurants. She'd take me to professional beauticians. They do my hair, everything. I thought these were my rewards, because I was helping her doing her homework. But when she got me to her house, and, you know, I didn't have no cell phone at this time. This was around 2002. I didn't have no car or nothing. She would call me in her bedroom and begin to take her clothes off in front of me. And I felt very uncomfortable, even though I really didn't have a lot of knowledge about lesbians and homosexuals. It still made me feel comfortable, uncomfortable that little bit. So in that chapter, I devised a plan how to reach out and get help to get away from this woman, and because she was asking me to give her massages while she was naked. I called my mom. I snuck in the house and called my mom at like 11:30 one night and told her, please come get me. I'll tell you everything later. And my mom came over there and got me the next day, and the woman actually tried to speak over me and told my mother that I didn't have to leave, that I could stay with her there, that I'd be just fine. So that was one of my first encounters with someone who was a homosexual. What was so bad about it, what was so deceptive, is she was an older lady who was trying to manipulate me and pressure me into that kind of lifestyle, and clearly trying to take advantage of a young woman. And that's one of the things I highlight in the book, because a lot of people weren't raised like that, and they need to be aware that there are these people who are predators waiting at college to prey on innocent people.
Yeah, she was preying on you. And you're not a homosexual or a lesbian at all, Minister Sylvia Craver.
Never have been. Never have been confused about my identity. I've always liked men.
Okay.
I never went through an identity crisis, none of that.
She used you too. Am I right?
Yeah, she did.
That's
who I was talking about.
Okay.
She was not.
Are you talking
about the character named the Old Dirty Hair? Are you talking about Miss Hazel?
Yeah.
Miss Hazel.
Old Dirty Hair.
Girl, one word can't describe how treacherous that woman was. She harassed me for 3 years, telling people everywhere on campus that she was my mentor, but she could not do her schoolwork, and she was going to get kicked out of college. And I was doing her work for her. And then she wouldn't hardly want to pay me after I did the work. And it went from doing her work to she would come pick me up and say, you're going to mow my yard. You wouldn't ask me, did I want to mow your yard? You know, just bullying me and taking advantage of me. And when I would have incidents to occur on the debate team or on the campus, like I got in some fights with some girls and stuff, she would go to the administrators and ask them what happened concerning me, and get all in my business, like she was a hag. I mean, like she was stalking me like a hag. And she eventually pressured me so much to write down every incident that happened on the debate team. She started this whole racism scandal. And I don't believe in pulling the race card to get ahead. I'm just going to say it. I don't believe in going there. I live in the rural South in Mississippi, in the country. I know Mississippi is heralded as one of the most prejudiced states, But I don't believe that's just solely the reason that bad things happen or some the reason I had negative experiences in college. I believe bad things happen to good people all the time. But she wanted me to pull the race card. She took my paper I wrote up and spread it, made multiple copies, and put it over the whole community and told everybody that I was being discriminated against. I have gotten more educated on the matter to know better now. What happened to me was hazing. I was hazed. But this woman exploited me, the dirty hair. She exploited me to the highest degree. She exploited me for my gift in academics to get her education. She exploited me for my youth. And she exploited me in that incident and tried to get millions, tried to get money off of me. She tried to make me file a class action lawsuit, and I had to stand up for myself and tell her I did not come to college to be a civil rights activist. I came to get an education and to get a job.
But Minister Craver, Mississippi is known for extreme racism to this day.
Yes, it is.
It says race card. A lot of what you read in your book,
people,
it was discrimination for real. But I understand you not wanting to be exploited and used. I get that. Everybody's not going to sue for discrimination. But I understand how you feel. That woman was trying to exploit you to get you to sue in a class action so she could get some money.
So she could get some money. And the reason why I said I don't want to go there with the race card, when I looked it up actually on the Office of Civil Rights page, because I actually filed a case, hazing, the stuff that I was hazing when you're in a fraternity. I don't know if you grasped that, but I was in a professional speaking fraternity. When they make you do ritual and rites against your will, rituals and rites that are abusive, and they do things like jeer you and say things that are negative and harassment, when they isolate themselves from you, when they bully you and they have cliques, all those kind of tactics are listed under hazing. Some people get hazed so bad they die. They don't even recover. I have no doubt in my mind that I was hazed.
Okay, I understand. You belong to a sorority.
No, for professional speaking fraternity.
Okay.
It was
special
called Pi Kappa Delta. Yeah, it's called Pi Kappa Delta.
All right. So, in the book you talk about a young man who you liked a lot.
Yes, I was comical. I think everybody called him Silk, but I called him Polyester being comical. He was like my first college boyfriend, real serious boyfriend. And I had a lot of experiences that were first for me because with him, he was the first person to domestically abuse me. He always kept talking to me about my weight, pressuring me to lose weight. At the time, I was 185 pounds. And he said, when you get to nearly 200 pounds, that's extremely fat. And he would pressure me about my weight. And he wasn't really an attractive guy at all. He had a body, but his face just was terrible. And because he had severe acne. And, you know, but he would pressure me about my look. And anybody that makes you feel like you're not beautiful, like you're not good enough, that is a form of abuse to try to put you through that. And basically, I talked about in the book how he was so possessive and so controlling, he slapped me. That was the first time I was physically abused in a relationship. So that was the relevancy of that. I wanted people to know that domestic violence and domestic abuse, it happens even in colleges.
So, but he did more than slap during that time in college.
He held me against my will, and he held me down, and I was like kicking and hollering, "Let me go! I don't want to be with you no more. Let me go!" And when I kicked and jumped back to get out of his arms because he would not let me go, he slapped me. And shortly after that, after he slapped me, you know, of course the relationship was over, but he would stalk me. Like I would be in the room with my roommates and we'd hear somebody knocking on the window and he would be standing outside my window trying to make me come outside and communicate with him. you know, and he did tactics like that all the time. He actually broke in the girls' dorm room because men weren't allowed in the girls' dorm room, and he was on the floor on my hall looking for me, and I ran and hid in the women's bathroom. Even after we broke up, years after we broke places, where I would be at all the time and harass me. It was just abuse. And I put that in there, the significance of that is to let people know. I think young people need to know, you know, if they are doing things to hurt you, pretty much if they are stressing you and not being a blessing to you, you need to let them go. And another tactic he did was sleep deprivation. He would try to make me talk about something over and over and over and over again. When I've told him my stance on it, I've told him I don't want to do these kind of activities, he would try to keep me up all night to persuade me to do things against my will. I don't know if you catch that, but when a person try to make you do something against your will, that is control and manipulation.
That is true. You're right about control and manipulation, and about harassment too. So even though you're going through this, even though you are assaulted by your debate team like that, what ended up happening? I know you received your you have two master's degrees, and you did get your bachelor's degree. But in between that, how did you feel? Did you have a breakdown?
I had a breakdown. I became very depressed when they pulled my scholarship in the end of my junior year. No, I felt very depressed because I felt like these people had did this to me and they got away scot-free. And I felt like I did not get any justice.
In between. Yeah, injustice, yes.
Yeah, like when the girls who were way older than me, were 10 years older than me, and they double-teamed me in the campus apartment. You know, I felt like I didn't get no justice. Stuff like that, lots of stuff like that happened. When the guy on the debate team jumped on me when we was in Texas, and he jumped on me. And at the time, I was a minor, and I did not know better. The school was going to expel him, but I told him to let him make it. I was just taking an apology. But the coach, instead of punishing him, when we got back, the coach wrote me a letter, and she told me from now on that I had to clean the trash up behind the rest of those students for the rest of the year. And, you know, I was the only black. And she told me basically I had to be the team janitor. And I took it to student affairs, and they fired her immediately on the spot. They fired her. But it was all kind of incidences like that. Plus, I had other incidences in the dorm where my roommate was a lesbian, and she would lay up with her girlfriend right in front of my face and would ask me to leave the room sometimes. And my mama walked in and caught them laying up, and I had to fight for my rights. Pretty much that's the thing for this whole book. You have to fight for your rights. Is anything worth having is worth fighting for. I mean, if you have a dream and you have hopes and aspirations, if it's worth it to you, you got to fight for it, then it's worth fighting for. But people, when you love somebody, you fight for them. Anything you value in life is worth fighting. And that's why I try to educate everybody and let them know that these circumstances, they're there. They're waiting. They're lurking there. And you got to fight to be somebody. You got to resist peer pressure. It's a fight.
Yeah, it's a fight. You have to fight for your rights. I understand it because I went to college also. It was a junior college back then. It was a two-year college. It's a four-year one now. Damn. It's called the university. Called university now because it's four-year and something. So I understand exactly what you're saying about college. People do take advantage of your youth and your intellect. And you can't, I was used and abused.
Yep.
So, you know, because everybody is not the same. You know, everybody's not raised the same and just different things. I was raised in the church.
You know,
I was in the
bullying. I wanted to interject. Bullying, it's not just bullying in elementary schools. bullying and hazing is going on throughout all levels of education. It is so prevalent and real, and people need to know how to protect themselves. Unfortunately, I did not have good coping skills when I went through that, and I became suicidal and tried to take my life, pills at one time, and live through it. You know, I'm not supposed to be here, but God, because I was being bullied and going through hazing, and it can happen to anybody. You know, that can happen to anybody, and people need to know how to cope with it, so that they can still live through it. I'm not here to say that woe is me and throw myself a pity party. I'm here to say that, hey, I'm a survivor. I went through this, and I made it, and I survived it. And I know you went through some things, but you survived it. And I thank God that I had a praying mother and praying people all around me who prayed me back. I might have lost my mind for a moment, but God brought me back for such a time as this, to help other people, to be a mouthpiece, to sound the alarm to other people. You understand? People get sick and they might lose their mind all the time. But I believe God will bring you back. He brought me back. And you asked me about what all went on in between. When God brought me back, I immediately went back to college. That same college that caused me the issues, I went right back to that college and I got my bachelor's degree. And then I had some more things, some more adversities, which, you know, me and you talked about earlier, how I was kidnapped from college. But I overcame that, and I went on and got my master's degree. And that's, you can't throw yourself a pity party because of adversity in life. Adversity does not show character. It does not build character. Adversity reveals your character. What you do when you in hot water and how you carry yourself, that reveals your true character. And I was fortunate that I knew to reach down deep and go to my roots. And in my roots, I was trained to call on Jesus. And I want to let you know, if he has to reach way down to pick you up, he will pick you up. That's how I made it. I had to reach down deep. And a lot of people prayed for me.
Not wonderful, but that God picked you up. That's the wonderful part.
Amen.
So when you were kidnapped, I know you're working on, this is going to be a series of books, but in the first book, The Truth About College, The Good, The Bad, The Ugly, and I understand that you're a ghostwriter, but how did you get kidnapped? I mean, how did that happen?
Okay. I'm gonna give you a few nuggets because I don't want to spoil the second book. But
okay.
I went back to college. I went back to college after I graduated. I went back that fall to work on becoming a teacher, an elementary school teacher. And I met this guy online. Back then, online dating was popular. And I did not know about what kind of people be online, but I was talking to this guy online. I was pregnant. And I was desperate. I said, well, this is a shame, a scandal, and a disgrace. You can't be with child and not have no husband. You have dishonored the family. So I was running from the shame. And anyway, I met this guy online, and he told me to move to Memphis, Tennessee with him. He told me to get a car, and he already had a job, and he would help, and we would start a life. He came down here on a bus the day I got the car. He came down here. My car wasn't even a whole day old. And immediately he demanded the keys to my car, and he started driving my car and wouldn't let me drive my own car. And he started hitting me upside the head, what they call muffing. Mind you, I was pregnant. And he would muff me upside my head. And 2 days after having my car, it was vandalized. Somebody busted a window out and stole my belongings out of the car. The car was only 2 days old, and I thought to do a police report right then, even though he tried to stop me. And when we got to Memphis, Tennessee, I moved in with him and his family. They started wanting my benefits for my disability and my welfare. They wanted my welfare benefits, and I wouldn't sign them over. Well, they refused to allow me to have any food. Mind you, I'm in the third trimester pregnant, so I was limited to eating only crackers and water. And my baby would kick so much, I believe my baby was hungry. I really do believe my baby was starving. When I finally got to the doctor, I had lost 12 pounds in the third trimester of what I had endured with this man. And he stole my money and he stole my identity while I was there. So I did not have a way to get home. So they were starving me, they were threatening to beat me, and they had stole every dime they could steal from me. I made it to the hospital and told them what was going on, and then they rescued me. I prayed because I started bleeding. I thought I was going to lose the child, and I started praying, God, please don't let me die like this. Let me get back home. Now, when speeding things up, when I went to press charges on him later, because he came and got me from Mississippi and took me to Memphis and stole my identity, stole my money where I did not have the means to get home, vandalized my vehicle and refused to give me my vehicle, that became not only Grand Theft Auto, but it became kidnapping because you took me cross state lines and prevented me from being able to get home on my own, and you stole my vehicle. So that's how I got kidnapped, meeting a guy online.
That can be very dangerous, meeting people on the internet and online. That's true. It can be very dangerous.
It's happening every day. You know, I just blessed.
College, meeting online, college. You made some choices and decisions and were manipulated also. You're a pretty young woman. You're only like in your 30s. You're a pretty young woman.
Yeah, I'm
35.
Thank you so
much. You're a very pretty young woman. You're intelligent. You're still young, and you're smart. You're still smart. But meeting men online can be very dangerous. There have been people killed. That were on Craigslist. They thought they were meeting a casting director on Craigslist. They called him Craigslist Killer. He killed 3 or 4 women on Craigslist. He thought he was a director, acting agent or something like that. So when you're young, you know, I understand where you're coming from. I understand where you come. You don't have a lot of experience. You don't have a lot of know-how. And I can understand how a breakdown can happen. I mean, other people don't really care what they're doing to you. So, you know, when you're away from home, even if it's only 25 minutes or 30 minutes away from home and you move into a dorm, there are things you're not used to. There are things you're not accustomed to. And, you know, me, it was using my body for sex. That was the main thing with me. It was only one though, but that was the main thing, using my body up. Man, I was 8 to 10 years older than me, so I understand how people can take advantage of your naivety and your youthfulness. I get it. And I'm glad you wrote the book, The Truth About College, The Good, The Bad, The Ugly. I'm glad you did go on to receive your bachelor's degree and 2 other master's degrees. You're a strong person. But I am sorry that you went through that. Because you're
God
much younger than
me. Yeah, God brought me through.
Yes, he did. Yes, God did. God has, and you're working on the second book. All right. So, Miss Sylvia Craver, is there anything else you would like to talk about? We still have 10 minutes left.
I just want to tell everybody that I wrote this book to help educate people about the pitfalls that are there in college that you're sending your children off to, and you don't realize you're sending sheep off to the wolves. And I want people to be aware. I want to enlighten people about what is going on these campuses, why our young people are going off and they're losing their way. And I want the children to be prepared. And in addition to that, I would like to tell everybody, please, if you have a young person that wants to further their education, buy this book. This book is on Amazon.com, The Truth About College, The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly by Sylvia Craver. And if you don't like the story in the book, the tips in the back, all my secrets of how to memorize your notes quickly, how to study so that you can perform more effectively on your exams, how to get certain grants and scholarships. All of that pertinent information is available in the back of the book in the tips section. Buy, if you don't want to buy it for the story, buy it for the tips. I want to say one more thing, like my friend Apostle Joe Brown, college is not for everybody. Everybody can't go to college, but everybody can get knowledge. Everybody can't go to college, but everybody can get knowledge.
Okay, so basically I have one or two more questions before you hang up the phone, before the interview ends. You also, not only were there, did you run into homosexuals and somewhat, abusive man, you were also assaulted during college. And, you know, you're assaulted, you're kidnapped because of online things like that. But what's in your book, you talk about, you didn't talk about the drug dealers that are there.
Yeah, that's in the book too, because I don't want to tell exactly the name of the college, but where at the time where I went to college, they built a private Christian college in the drug dealing capital neighborhood of the whole state of Mississippi. It is the highest drug dealer in the state. And it was nothing to see police chasing someone on campus. At the time, we didn't have fences around the college. They've done some updates since I've been there, and they've put fences all around it. But the drug dealers had easy access because the campus was wide open. They could just walk on campus whenever they want and distribute their product. And they distribute all different kinds of products. A lot of things that's a popular trend. Students are so pressured and so worried about getting good grades that the drug dealer will offer them a hit of some kind of drug and tell them, hey, this will keep you up long enough for you to study. Try this. And they'll get them hooked. Because they're trying to get something to let them stay up all night to study because they're worried about their grades, you know. So that goes on in college too. And then you look at a lot of kids that get away from home for the first time, and they have peers who want them to experiment with drug paraphernalia. And people don't understand. All it takes is one time, and you're hooked. That's all it takes, because whatever happens that first time, a lot of people keep saying, I want that first high hit. The first time I'm trying to get it like that. And they keep doing the product over and over and over, trying to feel like they felt the first time.
All right. So thank you for agreeing to grant me this interview on Show Talk with Angela Butler, Miss Sylvia Craver. Your book, once again, where can it be bought at?
Amazon.com.
And that's minister. Do you go on the minister or just Sylvia?
No, it's just on the. It's just Sylvia Craver.
Craver, yeah, Craver. I kept saying Craver, Craver. Okay, the truth about college, the good, the bad, the ugly. Also, she's a ghostwriter, everyone. So, if you need ghostwriting, did research? Do you do research?
Yes, I do research papers. I help people file lawsuits, legal documents, business writing, business plans, short stories, essays, whatever. If it can be written, that's my gift that God has given me, and I try to help people.
All right. Okay, God bless you, Minister Craver.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I enjoy it.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. All right. I'm going to, I know you probably have a church to go to preach, so I'm not going to keep you on the phone.
Okay,
all right, everyone. Yes, ma'am. You're listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. On this interview is Minister Sylvia Craver, very intelligent young woman. Very intelligent, a pretty young woman, attractive, gifted even. But her book is about college, and those things do happen on college campuses, universities, even at the best of the universities. So there's hazing, there's manipulation, there's all kinds of things. drugs. And what she's saying is, beware. You need to know what's going on when you send your children 200 or 300 miles away. You know. So she's still on. This is a very, very good book, and I recommend that people buy it because she's telling the truth, and she gives you a lot of insights about grants, scholarships, and things. This is a young woman that is trying to help people. Minister Sylvia Caber is trying to help people. She's trying to keep people from going through what she has went through. So, but nevertheless, she does have 2 master degrees, and she does have a bachelor's degree, so she's obviously an extremely intelligent young woman. I'm almost 50. This is like a young woman that's barely 35. So I know that she's intelligent, and I know this book is worth purchasing because I've read it. So, all right, everyone. Minister Craver, I know, is a minister, and she probably has to preach today. So thank you for listening to Show Talk with Angela. But I just want to add one more thing. Now, she was a debate speaker, but now she's a minister speaking in churches. So see how God reversed it? She was a debating and things like that. But God took that gift for speech and turned it around to something good. And she became a minister who speaks in churches. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. God bless.